Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
On the 40th anniversary of the Sandberg game, Bob Costas will be speaking at the statue dedication outside of Wrigley Field, the Sandberg statue. It'll be Sunday, 3 p.m., before the Cubs play the Mets on ESPN's Sunday Night Baseball. And we're waiting for Ryan Sandberg to call us. He was supposed to call us at this time right now. And if he doesn't, Dave, you can play the part of Rhino as I interview you. I was looking at some factoids on Sandberg. I'd forgotten a couple of things. He never really played second base before the Cubs moved him over there. In the minors, he played shortstop, I think third base, maybe. And then, of course, at second base, he became famous. And as we mentioned earlier, when he first came up, he had a bit of a slump, didn't he? He had an offer.
Yeah, when he first joined the Cubs.
When he first joined the Cubs, yeah, he was with the Phillies.
He had been with the Phillies. I think he was 1-for-6 in his one season with the Phillies.
Yeah, and then he went like 0-for-23 or something with the Cubs. And he was actually just a throw-in in that deal, wasn't he? I mean, I think it was it for Ivan DeJesus?
Ivan DeJesus. Larry Boa was in that trade too, wasn't he?
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, big Dallas Green move. And, of course, recently Sandberg's been in the news about his health, which I'm happy to report now. The latest from him is that he's cancer-free, and he said he has there's no detection of metastatic prostate cancer after treatment. So that is great news. And, of course, the game everybody's talking about, the Sandberg game, that was an NBC game. And Bruce Sutter, in relief, gives up 2 home runs. And Sandberg, of course, it wasn't just Sutter he hit off of that day. He had a great day, didn't he?
Drove in 7 runs, had, I think, 5 hits in the game. Yeah, I'd say it's a pretty fair game.
And he hit 2 homers.
2 home runs off Sutter.
Okay. Here's the great thing about WGN Radio. You can press a button and then say, good morning, Rhino, congratulations, and have you seen the statue yet?
Hey, thanks, Bob. Yeah, nice technology there. anyway, had a little bit of input with it, with Pose and the early stages about a year ago, just the rough start and making of it. So we'll be a little bit surprised to see the finished product, but you know what? Definitely looking forward to it.
All right, here's Bob Costas and what we all remember. Listen,
1-1 pitch.
What do you think about when you hear that and when you see a video of that, Rhino?
Well, you know what, I've seen it. You know, Sunday's going to be the 40th anniversary of June 23rd, 1984. I get mentioned about it. I get mentioned from fans and from when the game comes on. It's still played yearly, and it has every year. You know what, I'm just constantly reminded by it, by everybody that watches it when it is aired. And what I think about is a really good group of teammates that were put together by Dallas Green. We had a tremendous year. We obviously came up short in the end, but I remember that being a game at that moment. And after that game, moved into first place, which was a big deal for the team and the organization, and we didn't give it up the rest of the year. But what I remember was... you know, for me personally, and with my focus and dedication to the year and to the team, pretty much when this game was over with, you know, that was a that was a W on the board for the Cubbies, and it didn't really sink in or dawn on me that this was something different until the first time in my career at 24 years old, youngest player on that team, had witnessed something like that. But I walked in and I couldn't even see my locker. The media was circled around my locker. I could barely get to it. So that was my first taste of all that and what that game meant to everybody. And the fans staying there for a little bit longer to just relish it and to cheer. And, on the drive home, for me personally, it was another game. It was a W, and there was a game the next day. So that's how it was, like a job. But, you know, as after retiring and then listening to the fans on a daily basis, what that meant to them, a lot of fans have said that's when I started liking baseball. And that's when I first started falling in love with the Cubs. So there was that generation of fans that game really kept them hooked the rest of the season, and they're still Cub fans today.
Yeah.
Hey, Rhino, it's Dave Ennett. Congratulations on the upcoming big event this weekend. You mentioned you were the youngest guy on that team, but now you're going to be the youngest guy to have a statue at Wrigley Field. And this is something that's still a fairly recent trend, but what does that mean to you? Because you're, aside from Harry, you're the first player who was not part of the Cubs of the 60s, the 69 team, to get a statue. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, you know what? Well, first of all, you're right there. So maybe I'll have a little bit of feeling like a rookie all over again. And the other statues, good friends with them. I was all around, including Harry and the other four, all were around my career. But it means that, you know what, it just means to me personally the hard work and dedication, and the it's going to mean a lot to my family, my friends, my former teammates, my teammates that are going to be around, and I think it's a tremendous gift by the Cubs to the Cub fans. And to baseball fans, you know, Wrigley Field being a museum, and people, you know, can be across the world, and if they come into Chicago, they want to go to Wrigley Field. And so now to have that all be part of Wrigley Field, that's what that all means to me. But it's also, you know, I've learned in the last 6 months that it's the people that I've had in my life that it meant so much, and the reflection on that throughout my 40-something years in baseball with the Cubs, it's a lot of reflection on those people.
I got to ask you, there's been so much talk the last 24, 48 hours about Willie Mays. As a fellow Hall of Famer, did you ever cross paths with him?
I sure did. Once I went into the Hall of Fame, I was able to spend some time, quality days and time around him and with him on some small occasions. But I would say for 5 or 6, 7 years, he was still getting around real well, and I was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 05, so those years after that, going back, was able to, in some ways, call him a teammate, because that's what all the Hall of Famers refer to. We join a team as Hall of Famers, and it's kind of like we are a team, so originally, that was kind of mind-boggling to me because, you know, when he was playing in the 60s, I was 8 and 10 years old, and then hearing that name and the baseball card and what he meant, you know, there was a moment in the gift shop at the Hall of Fame. It was my second year, so it was 2006. He was in there, and I actually went over and got a ball and had Mr. Mays, could you please sign this for me?
Wow. Said,
oh, yeah, Ryan. Oh, sure, Rhino. And then that was like, wow, that was a wow moment. I have the picture. I have the ball.
Oh,
I put it on Instagram. I put it on Instagram yesterday. So I was able to, I mean, what a thrill for me. And but what a loss, you know.
Yeah.
For me, the greatest player of all time, you know, You say baseball and the history of baseball, you know, you got Babe Ruth, you got Willie Mays. For me, it's the first two names that pop into my mind. So it's a tremendous loss, but he's into his 90s, and what a life. So it's also a time to celebrate his life, but also mourn his loss.
And Rhino, a lot of fans want to hear the update on your health. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. You know, I've dealt with the whole process since January with a very positive attitude And with a new calendar and a game plan and focus and dedication, my wife and I, Margaret, have been through this. We're teammates through this whole thing, and just knocked off the days on the calendar and actually had some really good success with the chemotherapy. That was very encouraging. So now I'm into the radiation, much lighter medicine, and but from day one, I've never really sat down. You know, I go about my business no matter what the symptoms are, and have kept on the move and active. And the doctors have said that you know, maybe some of the success they've had with the medicine has been with the attitude and staying active, but also lucky to have my body, because these medicines, it reacts different to everybody. But I've been very fortunate and blessed through this, and I've been to several Little League games and T-ball games and high school games and Cubs games, and I haven't really missed a beat since the summer started.
Good for you.
I'm feeling great.
That's the best news of all, and that positive mental attitude goes a long way. We'll get to the news here momentarily and then the John Williams Show, but before we let you go, Rhino, I got to ask you one more thing. I got to know Bruce Sutter a little bit over the years. Everybody knows he was a great pitcher. I thought he was the world's nicest guy, and after this happened, did you two go out on the rubber chicken circuit the way Bobby Thompson and Ralph Branca did after the famous Thompson home run?
Not quite. The first time that I got to meet with Bruce was he came back for the All-Century team. So the year 2000, he was on that team at Wrigley Field, and they celebrated the team there. I was on that team. So we both met up there. And there was a moment that out there in the parking lot where we actually pulled up in two separate cars, obviously, and we both got out at the same time, about 60 feet away. And he immediately looks over and makes eye contact with me, and he says in that moment, "Oh, not you." and I raised my hands up and said, "Hey, Bruce, you know, how you doing?" So I got to enjoy the day with him. And then when he came into the Hall of Fame after I was there, you know, was able to talk and you know what, you're right, what a nice guy, and one of the best closers obviously of all time.
Mm-hmm.
A Hall of Famer, but terrific guy. And you know, he just passed a couple years as well, so
yeah, we miss him.
We did get to spend some time together. It's funny when baseball players retire and they get together, it's kind of like everybody joins a new club of, just former major league players. And it's a small world when you talk about major league players and retired and how everybody gets along. You know, one of my best buddies on Cooperstown weekend every July is Ozzie Smith. And, you know, big rivals and all that. But we did play 10 All-Star games together. But we're the rivals. But, mm-hmm. You know, after retirement, everybody has been through the same careers and things, and everybody gets along. It's pretty amazing.
Well, I know you're going to throw out the first pitch Sunday before the night game against the Mets. Tribute to Ozzie Smith. Why don't you do a couple of backflips out there?
You know what? I'll be 65 in 2 months. I'll leave that for the younger people to try that. But you know what? He actually used the AstroTurf in St. Louis to get some spring on it. So the grass at Wrigley Field, I think I'll just, I think I'll pass. Pretty good idea, but I think I'll pass. Well, that's his thing. You know, I'm a Cubby. Let's remember that.
Yeah, Ryan Sandberg. Great talking to you today. Congratulations on the statue, and most importantly, stay healthy. Thanks, Rhino.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Take care.